Mulibwanji. Welcome back to the Be Official Podcast. I'm your host, your guy, Paul Payne 837, and I'm joined with my co-host, Director D, is in the house. It's so great to have you guys back. We had such a great episode last week, and the feedback we received was overwhelming. You know, you guys could relate, and you pointed out very good, you know, pointers, you know, and you had like really dope things that could help other people who are in toxic relationships, you know. So we are back with the Uncut Conversations, and today's topic is the continuation of last week's episode and the harsh truth on why people tend to be in toxic relationships, you know. So without further ado, let's roll into the intro. Director D.
Yes.
How does society's perception of victims of abuse affect their ability to leave and seek support?
I feel society has a vital role to play in the way we perceive these kind of things, which are critical in our society today. One of the major ones being abuse. I think the first thing I would say would be the blame and shame. Blame and shame kind of means that us as a society perceiving the abusers as, you know, it's more of they have a role to play in that. But as much as they have a role to play, it's not our goal as a society to blame them for what they've been through, but us trying to find a way to help them come out of that situation. So many other times, the way we perceive them as a blame and shame kind of tends them to become and feel more of it's their fault that they jumped into that situation. Well, it not being true. So as a society, the way we relate or see them in that situation has a lot to play. So we can't blame or shame them or make them feel a certain way, because once we blame them, now the ones that have gone through the abuse feel the shame to not even come out. So as a society, we don't need to play the blame and shame game, so that we help them come out and make them not feel a certain type of way. The other one I would say would be culture and religious. Culture and religion also have a role to play. And in some of our cultures, I think what you experience is how we've tend to downplay some of these atrocities, whereby because of the abuser being, let's say, a family relative, we've tend to downplay these situations like it being a private matter, where the abuser, because the person, let's say, for example, the person that abused you is a, let's say, a parent or a relative. As a family, as a culture, we say, no, we can't take this to, you know, the police, we can't take this to the public because it's a relative, which then in return kind of makes the victim feel even, you know, that their abuse isn't or wasn't relevant enough for it to be an issue, because you've downplayed it in a way that the abuser has more power as the person that received the abuse. So you find maybe the person that abused them is a high individual in church or, you know, in a religion. And then, you know, we've turned down all of this because we're like, how are the people out there going to see us if we say, no, my pastor abused me, no, my dad abused me, no, my relative, my uncle, you know, my auntie and whatnot. So religion and culture have also had a very major role to play. And as a society, the way we tend to attend to these issues is very important. So no matter whether it's a relative, church, individual, whatever, if it's abuse, let's, as a society, take the proper precautions to help the people that have been abused. The other one I would say, stigma and stereotypes. We have this stigma and stereotypes around society today, where anybody that's in the abusive situation, we tend to say it's their fault. You know what I mean? How can they stay in the abusive situation for all this long? Haven't they been seeing all of this? As much as it's easier to point fingers when you're not currently in that situation, it's important that as a society we use empathy to help understand everybody, to say, what if I was in those shoes? How would I have handled this? Would I have handled this different? Or, you know, would it have been easy for me to seek help? So often at the times that we have this stereotypical situation where we judge from afar the victims of abuse being, it's their fault. How could they have stayed all of this in this situation all this long? Why didn't they leave? Because they have the power to leave. It's not easy when you're in that situation to have all of these solutions to say, hey, I can do this, I can do that. So learning to bear the cross for each other as a society is important. The other aspect I can look at, I think something that I've already mentioned, empathy. As a society, we need to practice empathy and tend to see things from a different perspective, to put each other in the other person's shoes, to say, if it were me, how would I want somebody to respond to my situation? So empathy is very important. And lastly, I can say fear of persecution and the gender power dynamics. I think fear of persecution stems from what I mentioned, being culture, where let's say the abuser is a parent, a breadwinner, or is a authority figure in the church, where, you know, we are fearful of the persecution that's going to come out when we ridicule the problem, of which it's the abuser, them being in a high authority, how that's going to pan out. And gender power dynamics. I think as much as the society today has set up all of these, you know, organizations, rules for, you know, abusers and whatnot, all of this, I think it's still, if you ask me individually, I would say it's still a one-sided play at the moment, because mostly when we speak of, let's say, for example, GBV, gender-based violence, it's mostly looked at a critical point when it's the woman being abused rather than when men are being abused. When men are being abused, it's more sorely looked at as, no, he's weak and whatnot. But when women are being abused, that's when it's kind of taken serious. But then I feel like in today's society, we need to also uphold the same standard to say, abuse is abuse, be it a man being abused or be it a woman being abused. Abuse is abuse. So a man being abused by a woman and it being looked at as weak, I don't feel we are holding up the same value standards. So stemming down from abuse being abuse equal, that's something that we should also look at. So I think I would just line up these few pointers that I've laid up. Yeah. Mr. Paul Payne, 8-7.
Yes, sir.
Are there cultural or societal factors that contribute to the prevalence of staying in toxic relationships?
That's a good question. I think I'll have a few pointers, and I'll start with normalization and expectations, of which there are like two parts I'm going to tackle that in. So there's the cultural perspective, right, where individuals have, so like let's say in the cultural perspective, we find, let's say for instance, is the gender roles, right? People are taught that the man has to be submissive. I mean, the woman has to be submissive, and the man has to be dominant, right? So in a situation where you are facing toxic vibrations with your partner, it's so hard to leave because your culture says you need to be submissive to your husband regardless. You know, you need to be submissive to your partner regardless. You know, it doesn't matter whatever that they do, you need to be submissive to them. So it becomes a pressure on the other party to even, you know, speak out, because they know what they're going to be told in that sense. Like, you know for a fact that they already told you, you know, that's how marriage is. That's how things go down here, you know. Your husband might beat you, wife, whatever, might go down in that situation, and you expected not to speak up, but to just endure and continue moving on. And the other part of that is the what media portrays nowadays. These days, it's now more entertaining watching couples fight online. And people find that so amusing, you know. It's like that's what feeds people's egos now, people's prides and all this kind of stuff. It's like that's the agenda that's being pushed on social media. And when young kids are watching all these things, right, to them, they look at it as a fact. Like, that's how relationships should be. You know, we have seen where people, there was a video I came across where somebody killed the partner, right, went on Facebook Live and made a whole video why they did that. And killed themselves, you know. So it's gone to such trails where media is now like pushing heavily on that, especially the algorithm. It feeds on what people are. This is what people love, and to push more of that, you'd find the negative things what are going to be on people's faces. So the normalization and expectations of things have become so unrealistic on people, and you find it. People find it more comfortable now just being in that space because that's what they saw on social media. That's what they saw being portrayed in these movies, these agendas that the world is trying to push, you know, and shove down our generation's throats, you know. So it causes unrealistic expectations, and hence people will just stay in toxic relationships. The other part is family background and upbringing. If your childhood experienced you seeing domestic violence, and where either of the parties was talking down on the other partner, and where love was not shown, you know, you're prone to also be in that lane, you know, because these are things that you grew up on, you know. Remember, those are your roots, so everything is just like in your face. So when you grow up, you have the task of unlearning everything that you saw whilst growing up. You know, the toxicity, the fighting, you know, the calling each other bad names, you know, and the showing of hate instead of love. All these things, those are things now that when you grow up, you're forced to start unlearning, you know, of which, just like Director D said, therapy comes in, you know, because it's a very, very important factor and equation of you jumping on a journey to just like, you know, leave out things that your childhood was exposed to. And, you know, and again, right, such families that are prone to such things, right? So you're prone to manipulation and disrespect or control of such behaviors because they tend to be normal on your part because that's what you saw growing. And the other part is societal pressure and stigma. Just like you mentioned, you know, the pressure of society and people around you making you feel like if you leave that relationship, right, they'll be on you, you know, and everybody will speak, call you names. And instead of understanding where you are from, they'd rather point and slam you to the door and, you know, be in a place where you're constantly being judged for making the right decision and choosing you, you know, over the toxicity. because you never wanted that to destroy you or be in a place where you're unhappy for the rest of your life. And the other part is religious and spiritual beliefs. This has also kind of played a role where divorce and separation is kind of something that you can't go to, right? Like, let's say if you're a Christian and you're in a place where your husband, your wife, whatever, is toxic in that space, right? People in that space will tell you, it's okay. You know, that's how marriage is. The ups and downs and all these things. So meaning you need to endure, you need to, you know, just keep the faith, you know, keep fighting on. I mean, by the end of the day, this is things that are eating you up. These are things that are, it's destroying you as an individual, you know. Despite, you know, divorce in the Bible being something that is not promoted, right? Like, but in a scenario where your life is at stake, I mean, you gotta bounce, you know, you gotta find your way out because it's unhealthy. God doesn't love unhealthy. God is healthy, you know. God wants you to prosper in a relationship. God wants to see you fly in a relationship. God wants you to exceed and do amazing things in a relationship, you know. That's why the union is very important, because these are things that once you people come together, you tend to do a lot of things together, you know, and you excel. But in a place where you're divided, the devil is in, you know. So run for your life. The last part is just how the fear of disrupting family harmony or community ties can lead individuals to stay even at their own expense, because I don't want to leave that place because my family or my family united me with this person, right? So yeah, you know, there are cultures where they find somebody for you, you know, and like it was just meant to be from the get-go. Like they already organized everything for you. There's a movie I was watching, and I think there's between the Arabs, the Muslims, I think it's like that, you know. So there's a movie I was watching, a series that director D recommended, should be The Lioness, where one of the girls was getting married and she never wanted to because the guy was abusive, he was toxic like that, you know. He was like, he had it's his way or not, you know. And constantly when the friend asks why you can't leave, it's like, you can't. It's an abomination, you know. Like, you're dead one way or another. Like, you can't disrespect your family. You know, you have to do it. So this is now a place now where individualism is kind of shattered. Like, you can't be your individual self and choose what you want. Everything's chosen for you. So, yeah.
Director D.
Yes.
What resources or support systems are available for individuals who want to leave an abusive relationship but feel trapped?
There are a number of resources available today to individuals that are trying to leave or escape that kind of situation they're in, but admitting that it's not easy to leave that situation. But that's why today there are a number of organizations that have set in play to help, you know, individuals in that kind of space. And the government on its own has also set up a number of various, you know, laws in place to help individuals. I think I'll underline number one, the domestic violence hotlines. I think today, just like it's easy to dial a hospital line when you have an emergency going to the hospital, if you have a fire, you can call the fire department. They've also set up hotlines for such cases. And the beauty about it is in the hotlines, they have, you know, professional individuals that are able to help you when you're going through such situations of abuse. So their domestic violation hotlines that you can dial, and they can help you with that. I think one of the other ones that I've proven to have helped to help individuals is the suicidal hotline. There are also those that, you know, if you're feeling such type of way, they've also set professionals that are able to help you when you do that. So there are hotlines available that you can dial that can help you with that case. There are also shelters and safe houses that, you know, beauty about the NGOs. We have a lot of NGOs today that support, you know, these kind of things. So if you're going through domestic abuse and you need help, there are houses that have been set up to help you when you're going through that. So if you have nowhere to go, just like you can call the hotline and then they can help you with that. There are also organizations that are in play today that can help you set up where you can stay, and they can give you food, they can give you shelter, they can look after you and give you the help that you need. There's also counseling and therapy. I think I'm one of the advocates of therapy. It's very critical for everybody that has been through something. And so just as you might receive therapy from a professional individual, there's also counselors, also professionals that can help you, you know, dissect what you've been and help you move forward after that abuse, because it's a pretty traumatic situation that you've been through, and you need professionals to help you get through that so that you can become a better and a healthy person as you move forward. Yeah, so there's therapy and counseling. There's legal aid. I think the organizations that have come today, they're pretty solid on helping people that are going through this. I think one of the key agendas that our government is pushed hard with the NGOs is gender-based violence. And teenage early pregnancies, you know, they've looked deep into all of this. And they're really doing a good job. I can give them credit for that, because they've set up and they're pretty serious about helping women in today's society become better women, empowering them with all of these resources. And they're doing great about that. But also, let's look at the men as well, because it's not easy for a man to come out and speak about how they're feeling. I think lastly, I'll talk about community resources and safety planning. As much as it might be easy by word of mouth to say you want to come out of an abusive situation, it's not easy. That's why you need to find a community that can help you plan your exit and how you're going to, you know, leave that abusive situation, because many of the times it's not easy. So you need your community to help you exit that kind of place, because the community will help you with the resources and help you plan out how you can leave such an abusive situation without there being, you know, abuse or violence or whatnot, but exit your situation peacefully. So all of these things that I've mentioned are there strategically to help you exit the abusive situation that you might have been in. So if we can, as a society, look at these things better and structure them even way better to help the abused people, which we even better as we move forward as a country.
Mr. 827.
Yes, sir.
How can friends and family members best support someone who is in a toxic relationship and encourage them to seek help?
That's a good one. That is a very good one, because I feel nowadays it's hard to express yourself because you might find yourself on social media trending. So you have to be first, listen non-judgmentally, you know. Allow them to express themselves without feeling criticized. Have a listening ear. Don't just hear, you know. Listen very attentively, because people nowadays are bound to just, I feel like, just be in a place where they just seek for other solutions rather than come to you, because they know once they come to you, you will just be merciless, you know, and they will know that instead of coming from that place feeling a little bit of a relief, it's like an added burden on top, you know. So listen non-judgmentally and make sure you're paying close attention to everything that they're saying. You might not have the solution, but just be there, listen to them, and pay very much attention, you know. The other thing is educate them about toxic behaviors. Help them recognize signs of toxicity and share information about emotional manipulation, control, and disrespect, you know. Help them navigate through those waters, you know. Have them in a corner where they feel the sense of belonging and comfort, because they know they have somebody who's there for them, like genuinely, not just for the sake of being there, but you're genuinely there for an individual who's facing such things. And the other part is offer emotional support. Remind them that they deserve respect, love, and safety. Validate their feelings and emotions. Let them know they're not alone, because it's really lonely out there in that space, in that environment. Like, it's really lonely. The other part is that help them explore options. Provide information about resources, hotlines. This is stuff that Director D mentions. All those kind of stuff, you know, make them explore all those options. Like, let them seek like advice from now, like people who have been trained in such professional sectors, you know. Let them be in a place where at least you are able to give them direction, and so that's helpful. And avoid ultimatums or judgment. While you want them to leave, avoid issuing ultimatums. Structured relationships can be complex sometimes. There can be a lot involved in there, you know. So it's not just like, leave now, you know, and the person just leaves now. Like, be in a place where you are not judging or providing just like instant ultimatums. Focus on their well-being rather than imposing your own solutions, you know. So their well-being matters a lot. That's why I said in the first place, be a listener. And then now you can start exploring things from the outside. And I encourage them to seek professional help. Yeah, because things are really getting nasty out there. Marriages, relationships, it's really getting nasty. So you can suggest therapy, counseling, and make sure that the things that you are also doing or focusing on or putting them in are things that are going to really help them, because offering them also like company that they feel relaxed and are themselves, because that will lead them to now make a very solid answer or a solid solution, a solid step to now like make an extra change in their life. Remember, it might not happen there and then, but you're constantly speaking to them. Whenever they come to you, might something that will spark a fire within. So, yeah. 911. Just dial on me, baby. Diaries of a Broken Man. Peace out.
Hello, guys. This has been your boy, Director D in the building, with my boy, my co-host, Popeini37. Thank you so much for the love that you guys have been showing. Continue following the podcast on TikTok at BeOfficialPodcast, on YouTube at BeOfficialPodcast, on Facebook at Popeini37. Yeah. So let's meet in the comment section. Tell us what you think about the topics that we discussed today, and catch you next week, Tuesday. Peace out.